Good morning, boys and girls. We're turning to a new passage today. It's chapter 24 of Genesis. Do look it up. We're still looking at Isaac and his father Abraham. But this is a different incident from the one we have been looking at. But nevertheless, we have yet a further picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter 24. We're going to read some verses together, and then I'll have something to say about what we have here. Indeed, I might have quite a few assemblies in which we will be looking at this portion. Verse 1 then, chapter 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. We leave the reading there. Now, as you can see right away, this is a story that tells us how Isaac obtained his wife. And that's the picture we're going to be looking at. It's the sixth picture. We've looked at five so far, now here's the sixth picture of the Lord Jesus set forth in Scripture. Well, it's the sixth one that we've looked at. I am very sure there are others that we could have looked at up to this 24th chapter of Genesis, but this is the sixth one that we are going to look at. A wife being chosen for Isaac. Now, what is this picture for us? Well, the wonderful errand that Abraham gives to his servant is illustrative of the outworking of God the Father's purpose in obtaining for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a bride. That's one of the titles of the church, of the people who are redeemed throughout the ages. God chose that people. God chose that people for his Son, the Lord Jesus. You remember in John chapter 10, the Savior speaks about the sheep that the Father hath given me. If you're saved today, you were chosen by the Father way, way back in eternity. And you were given unto the Lord Jesus to be part of his bride. Now, God had a wonderful way of not merely selecting you and choosing you, but of coming near to you and speaking to you and drawing you into union with Christ. That's illustrated here in this wonderful passage. Because, you see, the servant of Abraham, who is given this task of going from Israel or the land of Canaan back to where Abraham used to live in Ur of the Chaldees, and there choosing a wife for Isaac. And that servant, the command that was given to him, and the way that he undertakes that duty, is a wonderful picture of the gospel preacher carrying out God's will. Part of the process whereby a bride is obtained for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be looking at that. Then, of course, we will be looking at the young lady who's the very center of the whole story, Rebecca. Rebecca pictures for us the bride who, through the witness, the words, the visit of Abraham's servant, is brought from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to Canaan to marry a man who up to that moment she had never seen. She only heard about him. He was described wonderfully by Abraham's servant, but she never had seen him. Isn't that a wonderful picture, boys and girls, of how it is with us today? If you're saved, you have given your heart to the Lord, who dwells far, far away. You have given your heart to the Lord, whom you have never set eyes on. None of us here have seen the Lord, but we love him, we've given our heart to him, and one day we shall see him face to face. This is the story, then, that is given us here in the chapter 24, and which we will be looking at, I'm sure, for a number of assemblies, because the little taste that I have given you of the story surely must indicate to you that, oh, there's a lot of things there for us to look at and for us to consider. Now, I want to start off by considering the desire of Abraham to obtain a bride for his son. It was a fatherly thing to do. It tells us in the very first verse that Abraham was old. Abram doubtless was feeling his years, and he thought, before I depart this world, I'd like to see Isaac settled. I'd like to see Isaac with a good wife, a proper wife. And so he set about this wonderful task of obtaining a bride for his son. Maybe I could just say something here. You might think that it's really none of a father's business to obtain a bride. Well, I'll tell you this, boys and girls. The boy or the girl who does not take into consideration the thoughts of a good father regarding the partner that they would choose is acting very foolish. Acting very foolish. Aged Abraham was a lot wiser than Isaac, had seen a lot more, was much more experienced, and therefore he could give wise counsel on this matter of a partner for life. So just bear that in mind for future days, for future days. Now, isn't it interesting that here in the Bible, God has given us a report, a record, of this simple family event, the seeking of a bride for a son. Now, I'm sure in the world at that time, there were many great battles being fought, kingdoms struggling with kingdoms, thrones being overturned. Tremendous events. But God doesn't mention any of them. Instead, he tells us the story of Rebekah and Isaac. You know something, boys and girls? Nothing matters to God more than events surrounding his people. We can say, in a sense, that what kingdoms do, what kings do, what emperors do, what princes do, what world leaders do, and the wrestlings in the business place, and the buying and the selling, and all the rest of it that goes on in this world, is of no interest to God in comparison to the simple affairs in the life of his people. I can't emphasize enough to those of you who are saved just how important you are to God. You might look on the world, as you will be tempted to do, and say, oh, look at that, isn't that wonderful? Look at the way they look. I'd like to look like that. Look at how they act. Oh, I'd like to act like that. Look at what they're doing. And so on and so on. And say, oh, I'd like to be just like that. But my dear friend, that to me is like a great, stately lion stalking the jungle. Powerful. The most powerful of all beasts. Coming across a little creepy, crawly bug one day, down there in the dirt, and the great lion saying, oh, how I wish I was just like that wee bug. I don't think any lion would be so stupid as to think like that. In fact, I'm absolutely sure. Well, dear Christian, let me tell you, if you at any time envy the world, then you, as one loved of God, one who has been right there in the thoughts of God from all eternity, and for whom he has planned things that are beyond our dreams, you are desiring to forsake all that in order to be like those who are going down the road to hell. Don't ever forget, Christian, who you are, what you are. Here, way back in the days of Abraham, 4,000 years ago at least, and God tells us this story. Out of all the things that are happening in the world at that time, God tells us about Isaac and about Rebekah. The affairs of God's people are what are really important in the purpose and plan of God. Of course, it's proper that God give us the record here of the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, because that marriage would have a tremendous impact upon the whole world. This marriage here, all these thousands of years ago, had an impact on your life. Oh, you didn't receive an invitation to the wedding or anything like that, but nevertheless, it has had a tremendous impact on your life. Why? Because out of that marriage, there came Jacob. And out of Jacob, there came 12 sons. One of them was Judah. And out of Judah came many, many, many descendants. One of whom was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So this marriage has had an impact upon you. You remember how God said to Abraham, I'll bless you, Abraham, and I'll make you a blessing to all the nations of the world. And here is that beginning to work out. Because as Isaac is joined in marriage to Rebekah, a son is born who has sons, and they have sons, and so on and so on and so on, until there is born into this world a descendant of Isaac and Rebekah, and he is our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So that this account here, it's not just an isolated, far-off event that has no real interest to us. No, we can trace all the way back to this event. Our salvation, our salvation. Oh, I hope that this lays hold upon your heart today and you begin to understand why God includes this in the Bible and wants us to take note of it. Let's bow together then in prayer. We'll come back to this. Dear Lord, we do thank thee for thy great plan of salvation. A plan, O God, that involved so many everyday, ordinary, simple processes and procedures like this courtship and marriage between Isaac and Rebekah. Lord, we thank thee that in the ordinary affairs of life thou art working out thy purpose. I pray that the boys and the girls might know that. As they go about their duties here in the school, may they understand that God is working out his purpose through my studies, a preparation for who knows what in the future. Come bless us then, we ask, and take care of the school today and all the many activities. Be in them all, and grant your blessing to the boys and to the girls and to the teachers, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.